Hi, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to a very special WrestleMania edition of The Price Point. I'm your host, Luke Price, and with me today to talk wrestling, my producer, Nate Chu. Also, since it's WrestleMania week, who better to have on the show than the son of a WWE legend? Yes, we're talking about Road Warrior Animal, his son, Ohio State and St. Louis Rams great, James Laurinaitis. We'll talk with James about some football, his childhood, some wrestling, and even dive into contracts in professional athletes' lives and how that affects more than just the athlete. But before we get James on the line, we'll talk WrestleMania predictions along with a preview of the event. Nate, I'm glad you're with me. Let's talk some wrestling.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. This is the best time of year for a wrestling fan. Some would consider it the Super Bowl. I certainly do because my Titans can never make it. So this is my Super Bowl. I can't wait. A couple days away now. What are you looking forward to most about this year's?
I'm really just looking forward to WrestleMania in its entirety. It's funny because I used to watch wrestling all the time as a kid, and it's one of those things where I told myself, you know, when I grow up, I'm gonna be able to watch every single episode of Raw and SmackDown and every pay per view without anyone having to tell me to go to bed. So, but unfortunately, you know, life kind of catches up with you, and I don't really have the time to watch as much wrestling as I want to.
Yeah,
and you know, I actually missed last year's WrestleMania because of it. So I haven't really been keeping up with WWE,
okay,
but definitely excited for this one.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're going to have a good time watching it, you and I, and yeah, really excited for everything.
Yeah, I mean, you brought up a good point. I was raised watching wrestling as well, especially the WCW brand, who is now obviously engulfed by the WWE, what seems like just a few years ago. But during the Monday Night Wars, WWE went a little bit raunchy, and my mom was only allowed us to watch WCW. But we would, Mom, if you're listening, don't get onto me now. But we used to switch over and say it was WCW just so we could watch, you know, the Attitude Era and the divas in their scantily clad.
Yeah, Mama Price didn't approve of the panties and bras match.
No, she didn't. That was one we kept from her. The fact that she may know now that there's a panties and bra match, you know, she may tell me and tell Taryn not to let me watch that stuff anymore. But Mom, it's PG now. It's not not the Attitude Era where that stuff happened. But I am excited too for the event. You're coming to watch it. We're gonna have some cool WWE themed snacks, if you will.
And right. What's on top of the snack list?
Oh man, we've got. I'm glad you asked. We've got HHH hummus. So Triple H hummus.
HH hummus.
HH hummus. Yes, correct. we've got Ronda Rousey Rum Runners.
All right.
Yeah. Let's see. We've got Batista Bombs.
Okay.
Yeah, that's his finishing move. And he actually, and we'll preview his match here in a second.
And what kind of music are we listening to?
To get pumped up. Maybe some sweet chin music.
There we go.
By Shawn Michaels.
There it is.
Yep. But yeah, looking forward to Sunday. A couple of things before we start predicting. Everybody kind of knows they're predicting this to be the best WrestleMania maybe of all time with some of the matches they have slated. Out of all the matches and all the wrestlers, who is your guy that you are excited, or girl, for the first time ever, by the way, the women will actually be the main event. And it's really cool. I think that will steal the show. It's going to be a great match. But what guy or girl do you want to see the most this WrestleMania?
You know, that's a tough one. To be honest, I'm not too familiar with the current roster, but
fair enough.
I do know that Jeff Hardy's back.
Yep.
He came back. Did he come back last year?
Yeah, he's been back and forth a little bit, but he made his strong comeback pretty recently. It was probably a year, maybe 2 years ago.
Okay. So, I mean, if Jeff's coming into the show this weekend, that'll be pretty awesome.
That's my guy. Yeah, he's pretty athletic. He's still he's about 106 now, but he still does those crazy backflips off the Jumbotron and stuff like that.
I used to swanton my cousin.
The swanton bomb. Yes, I love that. There's a lot of old names coming. Kurt Angle, of course, is his farewell match against the up-and-coming Baron Corbin. Oh. That should be a good one. Corbin's a monster. Shane McMahon, who still is not afraid. He's kind of like the Hardys.
that he doesn't care if he jumps off the Jumbotron 50 feet and breaks his neck.
Right.
He's going to do it to put on a show and put, you know, give the fans that wow factor. That'll be a good match between him and my favorite wrestler, The Miz, and we'll predict that and preview that match here shortly. But yeah, the card is stacked top to bottom. It's going to be a 5-hour, 6-hour show, not including the pre-show, not including the pre-game that Nate and I will have, sipping on those Ronda Rousey Rum Runners. So let's just dive right in, man. Let's get into the predictions.
I gotta say that, you know, thinking of it, I think Seth Rollins is definitely one of my guys. Yeah. I forgot about him.
How do you forget about Seth freaking Rollins?
It's just been that long. Yeah. I think Finn Balor I've seen a couple times. I like him a lot too. So those two guys, if you want to talk current roster and not the old men.
Yeah, of course. And the old men, I think, are just there to put the younger talent over. But the kickoff show, we've got a couple of the Andre the Giant Battle Royals. First, I believe the women go on. Who's your pick in the women's Battle Royal during the pre-show?
This one's tough because, you know, there's only a couple confirmed entrants so far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be some surprises come out for that.
You know, I got three women in mind.
Okay.
But I'll give you all three of them, but I think at the end, I think it's going to be Lana.
I like it.
I think she needs her. I think she's been kind of on the edge.
I like it.
She's ready to move on and up on the rankings.
Yeah, yeah. That's a cool pick. I like that. That was my dark horse pick. I think Asuka's going to win it. She's just, I just think she's too athletic, and she's my pick to win the women's Battle Royal to start the show off.
Right.
In the guys, it's the same way. Not everybody has been confirmed.
You want to hear my other two?
Oh, yeah. You said three. Okay.
Come on.
Go ahead.
All right. I want to feel important. So Mandy Rose was my two, and Liv Morgan was my three.
Okay. Well,
do you have two others that you think would have a shot?
I do. I didn't want to name three because then if they win, people say, well, you picked three. Of course, one of them's going to win.
Yeah, you said Asuka.
Yeah, Asuka's going to win. I think Nikki Cross is one that is kind of under the radar that nobody's really talking about. And then Sarah Logan, who I think will be in the WWE and in holding many, many a belt, up-and-comer Sarah Logan, would be my third. In the guys, same thing. We've got some confirmed entrants, and then always, as always, in every Battle Royal, there will be some surprises. So just off the names that we know, who's your guy? Maybe who's your dark horse?
Yeah, this one's a little tough. Mm-hmm. You know, from the list of confirmed guys, I don't really see any of them winning.
Okay.
You know, I would love to see Jeff Hardy, of course, but yeah, I really don't think that's going to happen. I think maybe from the list, maybe Bo Dallas.
Okay, I love Bo Dallas.
But you know, off the list, I think good old Jim Ross comes and takes everyone out.
Okay, that would definitely be a surprise and get the show going
right.
Before the actual WrestleMania kicks off. These are the pre-shows matches, the kickoff show. My guy on the list, Braun Strowman, of course, stands out. I'm not a big fan of him, but I just don't see anybody on that list holding a candle to him. Maybe Jinder Mahal, who's a former WWE champion, but I like the Bo Dallas pick. Him and Curtis Axel, of course, were the B team who held the tag team titles for a while. Somebody not on that list, that's a tough one. I really think if Luke Harper comes back and makes his comeback soon, I know he's fighting at NXT this weekend, but my pick to be a surprise entrant and a dark horse to win it is Luke Harper. I just, obviously, with the Wyatt family, him and Eric Rowan kind of split off, and Rowan's now helping Daniel Bryan and whatever the heck they're doing with Eric Rowan. But I think Luke Harper would be my pick as a dark horse.
Titus O'Neil's in this confirmed entrance.
Yes, he is. Titus O'Neil played football at Florida, so definitely an athlete, definitely somebody that I think could win it. I don't think he will, but it wouldn't shock me, to say the least.
Is he a California guy?
I think he's a Florida guy.
Florida guy?
Yeah.
So I used to work as a video coordinator for an arena football team.
Uh-huh.
And one day, you know, there was just a crowd of people just in a corner of the weight room. So I kind of poked my head over. And
it was me?
And it was Titus O'Neil.
Oh, Titus.
And I guess he knew the coach, Darren Arbette.
Okay.
And they, I guess they used to go a ways back, but that was kind of cool.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's chiseled out of stone, I believe, maybe marble.
That's my Titus O'Neil story.
That's a cool story. I've never seen him live. I've ran into a few guys, but never Titus. But a couple more of, I guess there's one more pre-show match, which is the Cruiserweight Championship, which I don't see Buddy Murphy losing it. I always, to be honest with you, once that Cruiserweight comes on Monday Night Raw, kind of, if I DVR it, I skip through it. If I don't, I'll go get seconds at dinner or whatever the case is. So I don't really follow the Cruiserweights yet. I know there's a lot of talent coming through there, but to make a prediction other than Buddy Murphy, who I think is going to be a long-reigning champion, would kind of be foolish.
I think I'll stick with Buddy Murphy also.
Okay, good pick. Champion. Good pick. I like it. I don't think there will be some title changes. There always is, but I don't think that's one. As we get into the main card after the kickoff show goes, I like what they're leading off with. They were supposedly leading off with the Raw Tag Team Championship. It's going to be the Revival, who have been holding those titles for a little bit, and Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins coming out of nowhere with the Tag Team Championship match. Who's your pick there? You think the Revival retain, or will we see new Tag Team Champions come Sunday night?
Another tough one. I haven't really followed these two tag teams.
Okay.
I got to stick with the champs, the current champs, the Revival.
Absolutely.
I think they're going to retain.
Okay, I like it. That's my pick too. I think it'll be a good match. The crowd really gets behind Ryder. Always do his woo-woo-woo chants. Long Island Iced Z. So we'll see how they do. I think it'll be a heck of a match.
You know what? I changed my pick. I think I'll go with the woos.
You're going to go with the woo-woo-woo Long Island Iced Z.
I think they're going to start the show off with a title change.
Oh, wow. That's a big prediction. I like it. And that would probably pump up the crowd.
I think so.
I like the Revival, but I kind of think they've run their course. So we'll see. I that might be the case. None of these matches, by the way, are anything that would surprise me if something happens. Mm-hmm. You can't be shocked about anything at WrestleMania just because we've been shocked for 34 of them, now 35,
exactly.
Which we weren't alive for the first one. But
that's why I stand strong with my Jim Ross prediction.
I like it. Good old JR with barbecue sauce and everything.
That's right. It's going to be a
smelling like barbecue. It's going to be a slobber. Oh, my gosh. This next match, man, I really, really can't wait for this SmackDown Tag Team Championship. We've got a four-team tag championship match, the SmackDown titles on the line. The champs, Usos, they have just dominated the tag team division for a long period of time. The up-and-coming team of Ricochet and Aleister Black, absolutely incredible to watch in the ring. They're the best two guys I've seen in a tag team in many, many years, and they just came off the NXT roster. So it's kind of like a Triple-A baseball player getting called up to the bigs and just start raking and, you know, all of a sudden now in contention for a championship. The bar, of course, is Cesaro and Sheamus. They're always going to be tough to beat. And then Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm going to go out on a limb here. This is going to be the best match of the night. That's my first prediction. This is going to steal the show. I'm not a big tag team guy, but I'm going to go with Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura to upset the other three teams. And I really do feel like it will be an upset, not because Rusev and Shinsuke aren't great individual wrestlers. As a tag team, though, they're not getting their due yet. I think this gets them their due. I think we see new crown champions in Rusev and Shinsuke Nakamura.
That was actually going to be my pick until you said that.
Okay, I see. I see
can
how
definitely
it is.
See that.
You can agree with me every now and then.
No, I think Nakamura, they've been trying to push him for a while. Rusev, is he still doing the Russian bit?
No, he's all American.
He's
now.
All American yeah. now. He lost.
I mean,
his
he
accent.
Lives in Nashville, so I love the guy. He's a big Nashville Predator fan. Him and Lana.
Yeah.
She looks pretty good in her Preds jersey, if you will. But go Preds, go Rusev. Those are my picks.
I can see if Lana ends up winning the women's battle royal,
which you picked.
I can see Rusev and Nakamura winning this one as well.
That'd be awesome.
But I also think the Usos are just. I think they've been kind of the golden child of WWE.
They have.
In terms of tag teams for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think just the relationship with that family, you know, The Rock, Rikishi,
mm-hmm.
I think they hang on to it.
Roman Reigns is in that family as well, somehow. Mm-hmm. That line is just
It's amazing.
God made them to wrestle. Yeah. So I also would not – Ricochet and Aleister Black, if they don't win the NXT title, tag team titles, I would not be shocked to see Ricochet and Aleister Black simply because they're just so good in the ring together. Kurt Angle, who seems to have won the 1912 Olympic gold.
Right, back in Greece.
Yeah, back in Greece. I believe he was at the Roman Colosseum to win that. His match against Baron Corbin. I like Corbin. He's a physical guy, ex-NFL football player. This is one that could go either way. It's hard to imagine Kurt winning this match. I don't see him getting by Baron Corbin. I think Baron Corbin beats him and beats him pretty easily, and it'll be a physical match. I think he rolls right through Kurt Angle.
I think it's Angle's time to hang up the boots.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I think it's going to be Corbin.
Yeah, Baron Corbin's a monster, and he plays a heel, and fans don't like him. But as his in-ring talents go, he's as physical as they come. I like Baron Corbin in this matchup.
I would love to see Angle come out in a milk truck and spray down some people.
Yeah, that would be a nice little throwback. What do you have? Another old man match, if you will. Shane McMahon, who has recently turned on The Miz. They were a tag team. They actually won the tag team championships on SmackDown. I think The Miz defeats Shane McMahon, and I believe it's the same style of match as I think he hits him with at least four skull crushing finales.
I'm always surprised with Shane McMahon's athleticism.
Mm-hmm.
And he always puts on a great show.
He does.
I think last year was also a good one. Mm-hmm. I forgot who he fought.
Yeah, I think AJ Styles, or maybe that was the year before. But what a heck of a match that was.
Yeah. So he always lays his body out on mm-hmm. the line. He always puts on a great show for the fans. I don't see him winning. I think he's always there for the thrills, for the moments, for the fans to kind of root for him.
I agree.
And
even as a heel, they'll root for him just because they love that daredevil kind of attitude that he brings every time he fights.
And he just lays his body out on the line for the company and his dad just every single time. So
I think if there's a prop bet somewhere, which there always is in this match, I think the over under. What would you guess the over-under would be on Shane McMahon's broken bones? Would it be over or under 2.5? Would you take the under or over if you were a Vegas bettor?
I'd go under.
Okay, I would probably go under as well just because I don't know what else he can do. And we've seen him do everything where he hasn't broken a lot. It would not surprise me if he has if he doesn't break his vertebrae or something funky. And I think The Miz wins it. What do you think?
I think The Miz also. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great match. It's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. And The Miz is money on the mic. He's the best. And we'll go right into the Women's Tag Team Championships. We'll speed it up a little bit here. We got Sasha Banks and Bayley, who are the champions, versus Beth Phoenix and Natalya, versus Nia Jax and Tamina, who, of course, is the daughter of Jimmy Superfly Snuka, versus the Iconics, who they're a dark horse. I don't see them winning. I think Beth Phoenix, who's married to Edge, I think Beth Phoenix and Natty win these tag team titles. What do you think?
I've been a huge fan of Natalya for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like she's been given the push that she deserves.
Again, I agree. No, I agree. I think when they push her, they kind of pull her back.
Yeah.
So she seems to get this momentum, and then they kind of rein her back for whatever reason, and we don't really know that. But yeah, it sounds like you're predicting the same thing.
Well. I would like to see Natalya win.
Okay, but that's not your pick.
That's not my pick. I think I'm a huge fan of Sasha Banks.
Yeah,
and
I agree. I am too.
But on that note, I'm not a huge fan of Bayley.
Mm-mm.
I don't think she's great on the mic. I don't think she's.
She just wants to hug people.
She just wants to hug
the hugger.
I don't. Her in-ring stuff isn't. It doesn't wow me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think Sasha really carries that team, and I think.
I agree.
You know, unfortunately, I feel like they're going to retain the title.
Yeah. Okay. It wouldn't surprise me if Sasha Banks and Bayley win, but I do not see them coming out of the WrestleMania week as champions. Mm-hmm. So something will happen where they will lose their belts, in my opinion, before Monday Night Raw is completed. The United States Championship, newly crowned champ Samoa Joe versus another old man, Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio.
Abby, my sister Abby, is her all-time favorite wrestler and maybe athlete. is Rey Mysterio Jr. So, Abby, close your ears. Samoa Joe will destroy Rey Mysterio.
I agree. I think Samoa Joe's been, he's paid his dues. He essentially got dropped down to the NXT.
Yep.
And he's worked his way back up. I think he was kind of out of his element, or not out of his element, but he was a little out of his league.
Yep.
Being in, was it ECW?
Yeah.
Yeah, ECW. I think he got pushed too early, and he definitely paid his dues in NXT, and I think it's his time to shine.
So I agree.
The title.
Although he plays a heel, I think people have to respect him. He's like that seasoned veteran in the minor leagues who, you know, who take 500 at-bats every season for 10 seasons before they get that call-up. And he's that September call-up to the roster that teams will get, you know, get into the to the World Series, and he hits a, you know, a walk-off bomb in the World Series. And that's kind of the equivalent on the wrestling side of things. So I like Samoa Joe. I think he destroys Mysterio. For the Intercontinental Championship, Bobby Lashley.
Lashley's back.
Talking about a big man against not just Finn Balor, but Demon Finn Balor. He announced last week that the Demon would come out, and this will be a good fight. I want to hear your pick before I pick.
Is it Balor or Baylor?
It's Balor, Finn Balor. Yeah,
I've been saying
Baylor. It's okay. It's okay. He's Scottish, I think, so Irish, something like that. He probably has heard it all.
Okay, I'm gonna. I used to be a huge fan of Lashley.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he fight in the UFC for a little bit?
Yes, he did.
Yeah,
he also is. I believe he fought in the Marines. Like, he fought overseas.
Oh.
And hats off to that guy. I think he was like a shield.
Yeah,
because nothing was getting through Bobby Lashley.
He's a tank.
He's a tank.
I'm gonna go with Finn Balor.
Okay,
Balor. Sorry.
Yep. No worries.
He was injured last year for last year's WrestleMania.
Yep.
So you know, he's kind of due for his title.
Okay.
Or due what was owed to him last year,
uh-huh.
which was you know, a big run in WrestleMania.
Yeah. Okay. I like that pick. He was actually the very first Intercontinental, or I'm sorry, the very first Universal Champion. And in that match where he defeated Seth Rollins, he dislocated his shoulder and had to vacate the next night. He had to vacate that title and has stormed back and looks healthy. Again, the Demon's coming out in Finn Balor at WrestleMania. That entrance, if you're going to miss any entrances at all, don't let it be Finn Balor's, because it's going to be, but other than Triple H's, which we'll get into in a bit, he always has the best.
It's a good one.
Finn Balor's Demon entrance is insane. So you won't want to miss that. That'll be the highlight of that match.
I think him and Nakamura are my two favorite entrances.
I like Nakamura's with the violinist. He came out last year and played the live song. It was pretty freaking awesome. But I got Bobby Lashley retaining here.
Nope.
I think it'll be a good match. I think Lashley will just wear Balor down. And I think Brute overcomes speed in the ring this time.
All right. It's kind of off topic. Who's your favorite all-time entrance?
You know, that's a great question. I just, there were several that I think of right off the bat. One is the Stone Cold glass breaking.
Oh, yeah.
That is never going to die. There's still Major League Baseball players who come up to bat to that. That's just amazing. And then the Undertaker bell. I was never a fan of the Undertaker necessarily. Always liked who he was wrestling. And I'm glad when Brock beat him. I was one of the rare ones that was pumped when Brock Lesnar finally ended the streak. But Undertaker, of course, and then Shawn Michaels' "Sexy Boy" song was
all-time
insane.
Favorite.
But my all-time favorite's Brock Lesnar's. Brock Lesnar.
Wow.
Yeah, the Brock Lesnar entrance pumps me up more than just about anything. You know what? I'm a 30-year-old man, and I that is one of my ringtones. I'm not gonna lie.
As it should be.
It is. It is. I normally am not a ringtone guy, but if I ever switch, maybe once in a blue moon, I will flip it back between my ring and the Brock Lesnar theme song, and I just pretend like I'm Brock walking out,
All right.
I'm about to fight somebody. What about you? Stone Cold.
I mean, it's tough. Yeah, I think Stone Cold. It's got to be up there. But I think I'm a little biased because Shawn Michaels is my favorite wrestler of all time.
That's mine too.
And just that
yeah,
that gets me every time. Here he comes. He's coming.
Oh, that was such a raunchy theme song, but
yeah.
But at the same time, it's just women making weird noises. But you knew it was Shawn Michaels coming in to give you the sweet, sweet chin music and knock your ass out.
He's he's so good.
But yeah, he's the best. He's a preacher now, by the way. He does some.
Is he?
Yeah, he is
a born again Christian.
He is a born again. Yeah, he is.
Which is crazy.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him. He found God and He still comes out of that song, which is awesome. By right. Anyway, we'll get into here's a match that I'm pumped for because Triple H, his entrance is the best entrance of all time. If we're speaking of WrestleMania entrances, that alone, he's thought of every, whether it's him or the creative team who thinks of him, it's just insane. But that match versus Batista, which has just been formed over the last month, Batista, of course, big Hollywood guy now, Guardians of the Galaxy. He was in the new Blade Runner, stuff like that. He's coming off the movie set right into the ring, and I think Triple H beats him.
Yeah,
they're both in great shape, though.
Yeah,
they're both like 50 years old, and they look like they're, you know, like they're just chiseled.
Right.
You can't even describe it anywhere else.
Yeah, this one's a tough one. I feel like Triple H wants to get back. You know, he wants to dedicate all of his time into the front office. So I could see it, you know, going Batista's way, and I can also see it going Triple H's way because Batista wants to focus on Hollywood.
Yeah.
I think I'll go with. This one's kind of a coin toss.
Yes,
but
I think
I'll go with Triple H.
Yeah,
beating Batista.
I think Triple H stays, and I think his persona as a face now, which is rare because lately he's been the heel. Mm-hmm. I think that Triple H wins it, and then I don't think he's done fighting. And that's the thing, is his career's on the line in this match. If he loses, he can no longer wrestle, and that may be one of the reasons why I think he has a slight advantage because he's fighting more than just pride here.
Yeah.
We'll go right into AJ Styles versus Randy Orton. I'm going to go pick first. Randy Orton will win. I love AJ Styles. Randy Orton's the heel in this match. He'll take some cheap shots, maybe some groin shots, you know, those under the leg swings that Randy Orton has been known for in the past, or maybe taking a turnbuckle off and throwing him into the corner. Something weird's going to happen. Randy Orton will cheat and win. That'll be a good match. I like both athletes.
I think this is I feel like AJ Styles has been kind of teetering on the superstar mm-hmm. edge. I mean, he's big, obviously, right?
Yep.
So I think this is the push he needs to really kind of get him going, and he beats the Legend Killer?
Yeah, the Viper.
Yep.
And the Legend Killer, he's everything. He's Randy freaking Orton, RKO. I like it. Okay. Roman Reigns, after his comeback. Roman Reigns, he's been all over SportsCenter, Good Morning America, stuff like that, after he beat cancer. He's coming back. Drew McIntyre has also recently made a comeback. He is the Scottish, I think they call him the Destroyer, but just a massive person of a man, just a brute guy. That'll be a very physical match, just like we called earlier. I think Roman Reigns wins. I don't see any reason why he doesn't. I don't know what is gained by him losing this match, but I think it's going to be great because Drew McIntyre is the next big thing.
Mm-hmm. I can see it going both ways. You know, as dark as this sounds, I feel like Reigns' cancer might have helped his career.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to boo a guy that comes back from that.
Absolutely.
As you know, why would you boo a guy that beats cancer?
Correct.
But I think because it's WrestleMania, because anything can happen, because the wow factor would just be too crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
I think McIntyre pulls it off.
I like it.
And that will just help Reigns become the face that they've been trying to make him for 20 years.
You know what? Like. That's your best pick of the night. And the logic behind it is money. They should have you tableside. Maybe with the German duo.
You know, when I was 10 years old, I used to email the WWE and with my storyline ideas.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm ready for this.
I think that this is what puts you over. We talk about putting wrestlers over. I'm going to put my producer and friend Nate Chu, I'm going to hopefully have him pushed for somebody to get him over and be the next WWE announcer.
You know what? WWE.
You're Michael Cole.
I'm ready to be a storyline writer. You know,
okay.
Just bring me on, guys.
Hey, Vince.
Vince.
Triple
H. Listening.
Yeah, please. We love you. We're ready, man. We're ready to do this.
I'm ready for the big leagues.
That's a great prediction there. I like it. We have both the last couple matches we've predicted opposite, so we'll see what happens there. WWE Championship. I used to love Daniel Bryan. I used to love him. He was the underdog. He was like that comeback story. Now he is the heel. He's that environmentalist. Basically, he calls everybody fat. Against who I used to not like in Kofi Kingston, who I think wins this match. I don't see how Kofi, who is a heavy underdog here, I'm going to say Kofi wins this match. This is what the WWE Universe wants.
That'd be huge.
This is what the WWE roster wants. I see tweets all the time. Everybody's backing Kofi. I got Kofi. I would bet my life on it. I just think Kofi beating Daniel Bryan would be a huge, would get a huge pop from the crowd. Even when he walks out, it's going to be a huge pop. You can't let him leave the ring without that same pop.
I agree. I feel like just watching New Day, I've always felt that Kofi Kingston was he was kind of like the star of that trio. I was always surprised that he didn't go solo.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bryan hangs on to the title.
Okay.
It's not what the fans want, mm-hmm. or the WWE universe, but I think he just does it for the wow factor.
Okay, I like it. I mean, this is going to be a great match. Both are incredible in-ring fighters and wrestlers and grapplers, really. My guy, Brock Lesnar, Universal Champion. A lot of people give him hate and flack because he doesn't defend the Universal title. He's never on Raw to defend it, and people are calling for his head, like William Wallace and Braveheart. I don't want to go with my heart here because my heart, I'm a Brock guy. I always have been from day one. But I don't see Brock Lesnar losing the titles come Sunday. I think he beat Seth Rollins in the second best match of the night.
It's hard to see Lesnar losing at a WrestleMania. I've always been a huge fan of Lesnar, even when he was in the UFC,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, almost blasphemous to say those purists out there because they didn't see Brock as a legit fighter.
Correct.
But I think just because he was, you know, in WWE, I was rooting for him pretty hard. This might be because I'm a huge Rollins fan, but I think Rollins takes it.
Really?
Yeah.
You think Rollins wins it?
I think he pulls it off. I want it to happen. I don't see it happening,
yeah.
but that's going to be my pick because I want it to happen.
Okay. If Rollins wins, I could see the Weasel Paul Heyman, who I really like, by the way, try to join Seth Rollins as the new Universal Champion. I think he's just prideful enough to say, hey, I'm Seth, I'm with you now. If Seth Rollins wins, don't be shocked, WWE Universe, if that does happen, where Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins are now an item, so to speak. I'm excited for this match. Brock wins it, I hope.
That's going to be a good one. I hope I make it back from my softball game in time.
Yeah, you better. You better. The door's open, man. Come in. Here's what we mentioned earlier. The very first women's main event at a WrestleMania. WrestleMania 35. First time ever. So for 34 years, the women, a.k.a. the divas of the WWE, never had a main event at WrestleMania. This one is the perfect match for not just to end that 34-year drought, but to end this WrestleMania. I think this is the match of the night as far as what I think everybody's most excited for. We've got Ronda Rousey against Charlotte Flair, who I believe is the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And she's still young and has a lot of fight left in her. Against Becky Lynch, who I think the WWE Universe has gotten behind and really pushed her. And I think it would be a insane travesty if Becky doesn't walk out champion. I think that people will boo. I think people will throw crap into the ring. Maybe literal crap. There may be crap thrown into the ring if Becky Lynch doesn't walk out as the women's champion.
That was actually going to be my pick, and I didn't know that was going to be the popular pick.
Yeah.
I've seen Becky Lynch. She's been doing a lot of promos.
Yes.
She was even at the Warriors game.
She was.
And she did a sideline report. Not a report.
That's why you interview. Pick her, because she was wearing a Klay Thompson jersey.
I'm picking her. She's going to be my pick, too. It's tough to pick against Flair.
It really is.
And Rousey, you know, but I feel like if Lynch wins and they have a storyline prepared for her, which I mean, I think they do, and they know what to do with her.
Yeah.
I think she wins it, and she becomes the next star.
Yeah. And just a caveat in this match, it's a winner take all match. So we've got Ronda Rousey holding the Raw Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair wearing the SmackDown Championship, and Becky Lynch wearing nothing. Well, she's wearing clothes, but not a belt. Becky Lynch walks out with both belts, and I think that's the way to go to end the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
It's going to be a good one.
I'm excited. Thank you for listening to our preview and our predictions. We'd love feedback, so if you want to tweet at us, if you want to Instagram us and give us your feedback on on who you think's going to win, or even after WrestleMania is over, give us some feedback on how you think the card was set up and how you think, you know, the entrances were and the matches were, and, you know, maybe give us some ideas that you have on leading up to next year's WrestleMania, which they're already starting to plan matches. And, you know, who is your person that you think could get over? Mine's Drew McIntyre, like we just said, and give us that feedback. Give us your thoughts.
Well said.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody listening to our preview and prediction part of the of WrestleMania week. WrestleMania, of course, comes on Sunday night on the WWE Network. Nate Chu, my producer, my friend, thank you for being on with us and giving your input and predictions on the show.
You bet. That was fun.
Since we're running short on time, let's get into our interview with the great James Laurinaitis. James, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you taking some time to be here with us, and we'll just kind of dive right in if you're cool with that.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome, man. Talk about growing up and, you know, where you were born and raised and all the sports you played growing up, and just touch on who James Laurinaitis was as a kid.
Yeah, well, born in Minneapolis, Minnesota, grew up in a town called Hamel, went to Wayzata High School, so go Trojans, and, you know, really enjoyed my childhood. My dad was a professional wrestler, went by Animal of the tag team, the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors. So, you know, that was an interesting childhood, to say the least. But my dad believed in trying to have us play as many sports as possible. He was and still is against any kind of selective sports, kind of, you know, kids choosing one too early and just being selective in it. He wanted you to be a well-rounded athlete.
So absolutely.
Played, tried to play everything. I stuck at soccer, so I bowed out of that real quick. And then really stuck with baseball, hockey, and football. And, you know, from Minnesota, you don't have a choice but to play hockey.
Absolutely.
Hockey and all. And so played hockey and football all the way through high school. And, you know, was able to get to the state tourney in both, which was it was a great time and a lot of great memories back in high school sports.
That's awesome. And you mentioned hockey, and when we talked yesterday, I brought up the Minnesota North Stars who moved to Dallas out of all places. I can't imagine hockey fans up there in that state being too thrilled about losing a team to Texas.
No, not at all. Look, it'd be like the Browns leaving, which they did.
But which,
it'd be
like them leaving again.
To a team that has no, it'd be like them going to Montana.
Yeah, exactly.
It'd be like, or even maybe even a better example would be the Dallas Cowboys leaving to go to like Wyoming. You'd be like, come on, man.
Yeah, the Cheyenne Cowboys doesn't.
Yeah, like why is this happening? Minnesota lose a hockey team. It was drastic. It was bad. The Wild, you know, came over, which was great, but you know, you don't really have that connection with them because you had missed years of NHL hockey in your home state.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, being down in Columbus, Ohio, where my wife and I live with our two daughters, you know, Blue Jackets fans. I like to root for teams that are nearby, and I don't really root for the Vikings anymore. Cause mm-hmm. Playing the NFL, all that fandom goes out the window.
Yeah,
the business side of it, so it's a little different. Don't root for the Twins anymore, although it was great watching them growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kirby Puckett,
Kent Herbeck,
Chuck Knoblauch,
yeah.
Jack Moore, some of these legends in that 91 series against the Braves.
Absolutely.
They, you know, that was my childhood growing up, and now it's, you know, Buckeye football and, you know, a little bit of the Browns. My wife's from Cleveland, so.
Okay.
You just try to follow the local teams. What can I touch? What can I get to? You know what I mean? And that's all the stuff that's nearby.
So absolutely.
I guess adopted new teams that you want to see do well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm kind of the same way, being you know, being raised a Preds fan, being from Nashville and everything, and I was actually a Knicks fan, and now I've got to living out here near Denver, you know, got to kind of go with the Nuggets and the Rockies a little bit. So certainly yeah. Understand that. Are you
which I'm convinced Denver is I'm convinced is heaven, because I mean it is the perfect combination of just you get the dryness of the West, but you get the seasons, and it's just mountains. It's always glorious. I wish there would have been one part of my career where Denver would have just been like, come out here. I don't think I would have ever left.
Oh, man. It's, yeah, absolutely.
I'm not playing out there.
And I honestly, when I moved here, I missed Nashville still, but I missed it even more then, just because we live in Fort Collins, which is just north of Denver. And it's just, it's hard to not appreciate everything that we get to live in every day. So, It is a beautiful, beautiful place to live, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But yeah, you went to Ohio State, and everybody knows how successful you were there. You got to play with Jim Tressel from, I think, 05 to 08, if I remember right. Tell us about a little bit about playing with him and the loaded roster that you guys had during that time. How was playing there? How was Jim? How were your teammates? Did you have one in particular that you were the closest to and maybe stay in touch with the most?
Yeah, well, Coach Truss was the main reason why I went there. I would say it was both him and our defensive coordinator slash linebacker coach Luke Fickle were the two main guys that were influential. Now, I wasn't a very highly recruited guy. I was committed to Minnesota after my junior year. That was my only D1 offer at the time, and Ohio State happened to stumble upon me. Coach Trussell's brother was a old D3 coach up at Hamline University in Minnesota. Knew the area, so he was just kind of up there peeking in on some games, and I happened to have one of my best high school games ever when he was in town, and Ohio State was interested. And, you know, things kind of unfolded for me there. But when you met with Jim Tressel, you got a sense of a guy who wanted to build the whole human being. It wasn't just about football. There was a lot bigger picture. And, you know, between him and Coach Fickle, I knew that I was going to have two guys that were interested in building up the human side of me and not just the football player. And that was important for me. If I was going to leave, it'd be a 12-and-a-half-hour drive away from home.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure that it was for a good reason. And I needed to do that. I think that sometimes, you know, you need to get away from your nest if you want to truly grow up and find out who you are and what life's like without having mom and dad close. You got to go out there. And I love the decision, obviously, that I made. And Coach Truss was big. I mean, heck, as an 18-year-old, he wanted every single freshman to fill out a goal sheet. On the top would be, you know, what are your short and long-term goals of faith, community service, academics, and on the bottom would be football, strength training, and other stuff of that nature. He called it the block goal of life. But you had to make a goal, and then you had to make bullet points on how are you going to achieve that goal. So it made you, as an 18-year-old, you're thinking, we need family goals. I have no idea.
Yeah.
School, I'm just trying to pass. But then he would pull it out your junior year and make sure and basically do a progress check on where you were on your short-term goals, and how close you are to accomplishing them, and do we need to revisit some of these, and would hold you accountable. And so I think he did a lot to help me grow up in a time where obviously you're still, being able to be formed as a man, and you're 18 years old on your own for the first time. He would make sure that you were on the correct path, and if you weren't, he'd try to get you back on the straight and narrow.
That's awesome. And everybody knows Jim, led you guys, I think, to how many national championships under his reign?
Well, Jim won in 02, and yep. Then we lost two. We lost to Florida in 06, and we lost to LSU in 07. But we have four Big Ten titles during our time there together. And
that's
four,
amazing.
Four victories versus that team up north.
Yeah, we won't mention them. They're the team that you guys don't put a certain letter, or you, the Ohio State fans and the campus don't put a certain letter in the alphabet anywhere. The M is completely blocked out.
Right before N. That's right. And that, you know, they started blocking that out after I left.
Okay.
They didn't used to go around and tape all the M red X's over them that week. That was done after, which I love it. Whatever you can do to continue to emphasize it. And I think it's important because Ohio State has dominated that rivalry for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the fact that we're continuing to do things to emphasize it, even though we've been winning most of them, it just shows how important it is, not only our school, but to the people of Ohio. And I know they're trying to take it as serious. They're trying to find a way, but you have to wonder if there's a psychological block with them right now, especially last year's game when they were favored coming in. They had the number one defense in America, and then the loose, I think, 63-39 in the rivalry, and kind of a game that you had a chance to get over a hump. And I think that team hasn't been to a Big Ten championship game since the Big Ten went to the championship game format.
That's
it's
crazy.
Pretty wild.
Yeah.
And they haven't won the conference since 97. So that's pretty crazy.
That is crazy. And of course, of course, Harbaugh is there now with his infamous Sharpie hanging from his neck and his khakis. he's quite a character, and you know, there's a lot of people here in the office who are big Michigan fans, and we have a couple Ohio State fans, and it's always interesting leading up to that that matchup every year. The crap that they talk to each other back and forth, it's pretty pretty hilarious. Obviously, being from the SEC country, we're SEC fans. My family is, at least, but I've always admired the Big Ten and how the difference of style. I mean, Big Ten is more of a hard nose, punch you in the mouth kind of football, whereas the SEC is predicated on speed. You know, and so I'm a Vanderbilt fan in the SEC. I know that doesn't really count, but I love watching Big Ten football because I just like that style of play. Do you ever see that changing in the Big Ten, or is that something that, you know, goes heavily into the recruiting process?
Well, it's all about recruiting now, right? I think when Urban Meyer came over, he did make Ohio State an SEC-type model.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one thing that you said there, the SEC definitely is the leader of the pack when it comes to speed, but I think also the SEC does have that, you know, we're going to punch you in the mouth, but mm-hmm. we're also going to run right by you.
Yeah.
Whenever we played them, it wasn't just their speed. It's just the fact that their DNs were physical and fast.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, Big Ten guys back then when I played were just physical.
Yeah.
Trying to out-hit you, but if you got in the open field, we weren't catching you very often. Well, now I think with Urban Meyer, as you saw when it was 2014 and, you know, you had Ohio State, they tried to run the ball down Alabama's throat. And that's how they sealed the game. It was, we're going to try to punch you in the mouth as well. But also they had the speed. They were able to recruit those athletes where before they didn't have them. And it's kind of been weird because I think what Clemson has become, where it's a perennial national title contender, I think after that 2014 title, Ohio State fans in Columbus thought, that was going to be the new norm, right? Like, you just dethroned Alabama.
Yeah.
You've been recruiting right up there with Alabama and Clemson. So we expect this to continue to happen. And what's been weird is that, you know, Ohio State would roll through the Big Ten and then there'd be one game, whether it be Iowa 2 years ago or Purdue last year, where you just scratch your head. Like, how does that talent lose that way?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you don't see Alabama losing that way. That'd be like Alabama rolling through an SEC schedule and dropping an egg like that at Vanderbilt. It would never happen.
Yeah.
Or Clemson doing the same thing. Clemson had the one slip up, you know, to Pitt, and they've had some games of their own. But still, they're in a conference that is extremely tough. The conference in the Big Ten East over the last few years has been tough. But we've been losing. We haven't been losing to the teams that are tough. We didn't lose to the team up north. We didn't lose to Sparty. We lost to Purdue and Iowa.
Yeah.
And that's what really has you scratching your head.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, of course, Purdue had that awesome story about that.
Tyler Trent.
Yes. And that was one of the most tear-jerking stories I've ever seen on game day, which are typically some that, you know, can get a tear down a cheek or two. But that one was pretty special. And, you know, a lot of Ohio State fans would probably say if they're going to lose, it might as well be to somebody, you know, a fan like that who's recently passed away. And, you know, it was just a cool story to see, even though, you know, Ohio State fans aren't used to losing or don't like to lose. Then, you know, that story was pretty special to be a little bit of a part of that guy's story.
His story was crazy. Obviously, a sad story, but the way that he rallied people, rallied that team,
absolutely.
The way that he rallied that university, and the university has done something really cool. They've actually named their student gate at the stadium, Tyler Trent Gate. So
that's amazing.
His legacy will live on there forever, and he's made a huge impact that will ripple for generations to come. I mean, that's the important part of how he finished his journey here on Earth is he's, you know, there's going to be people that are going to be talking about his story and that night against Ohio State for years because people are going to walk through that gate and be like, hey, who's Tyler Trent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, parents will be able to tell their kids that story.
Yeah, that's incredible. And we had a couple of us in the office talked a little bit the other day about the power of sports, and it's just more than football game or a baseball game or a hockey game or anything like that. And that is really what it's about. And that moved a lot of people, including myself. We'll get going here a little bit faster pace. I know you've got a radio show to get to, and again, appreciate your time. But the day of the NFL draft, Touch on that, what it's like sitting and waiting, the nerves and everything like that. And, you know, what all goes into it? Did you sleep the night before? Did you feel rested? Were you nervous? Who was all there with you? Just touch on the draft day for you.
Yeah, well, I'm thankful it was in the old format where it was just 2 days, one through three. That Sunday would be 4 through 7. And because I went in the third pick of the second round. So the way it is now, I had to, you know, sit a whole day with everybody around and be like, all right, party's over, getting your pick. You know, like, I'm not doing this here again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Stay home. It just would have been different. I would have been a nervous wreck. I was nervous already. There's so many things to play. What city am I moving to? I was just dating my wife at the time. You know, how far away am I going to be from her? She's still at school at Ohio State. Does this affect my relationship? Am I going out to San Francisco? Am I going to Seattle? Am I going to, you know, somewhere close? You try to figure out, you had an idea which teams you thought you would go to, talk to the most. And then the draft happens, and it's people fly that you didn't expect to fly. You know, and you're thinking you're going to a certain spot. You've had teams say, hey, if you're here at 20, whatever, we're taking you. And then you don't get taken by that team, and you're thinking, well, what the heck was that about?
Yeah.
Someone slid on their board that they had ahead of you that they thought would be long gone by then.
Mm-hmm.
It's an unpredictable thing. It's an exact science.
Yeah.
And then you're hoping that a team drafts you that has the right scheme for you. That's why I fit here. Does this coach have longevity here? Thankfully for me, I got drafted to St. Louis, where Steve Spagnuolo was a first-time head coach in year one. So even though we were bad, I knew he had at least 3 years. So I had 3 years with one coach. I wasn't drafted by a coach who maybe was on the hot seat, right?
Absolutely.
Or a GM on the hot seat. You get picked by him, a new guy comes in, you're not his guy. You go from 4-3 to a 3-4.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran out. There are so many factors like that out of your control. So a lot of it is just hoping you get to the right situation. So you have some opportunity to kind of plant some roots down in one team.
Absolutely. And you mentioned how guys can slide and everything. I think it's so hard to predict the NFL draft just because, like you mentioned, and also the fact that, you know, one team's need, you know, is something completely different than an outside or middle linebacker or a cornerback or something. So you see yourself either sliding or sometimes even getting picked before you thought. And not many, I don't envy the guys like Mel Kiper or Todd McShay, but as nerdy as Mel Kiper looks, that guy is just about as genius as they come. At least my opinion, he's always been pretty accurate on his draft picks.
Well, the weird thing, too, is, you know, and we talk about this on our show, you know, there's a difference between a draft, a mock draft, and a big board.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a guy like Mel Kiper or Todd McShay, or, you know, you're going to go and make your list. Like, who do I think? If I'm going to be a scout, I'm an NFL scout for any team, in the 32, who are my top 100? That's a different conversation than what I think the mock draft is going to look like, right? Because I would argue if the Arizona Cardinals aren't picking number one, is Kyler Murray still the best quarterback?
Correct.
I don't know. Because that's Cliff Kingsbury. If I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm pounding the table saying, you want me to be successful? You hired me to be the hot coach.
Yeah.
This is what I need. I need Kyler Murray to operate my system. Well, you know, if that's the New York Giants number one, Shermer's not running that. So maybe then Dwayne Haskins is number one projected pick, or maybe whoever. You know, Daniel Jones' name has been rising, or Drew Lock, whoever it is.
Yeah.
It's all about what does that team want? So that's a different conversation. You see, because a lot of these mock drafts going into the combine were Dwayne Haskins, the first quarterback taken. Kyler Murray gets all this momentum for being 5'10 and 207.
Mm-hmm.
Not doing anything at the combine. He rises, and I see the connection with Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah.
That's the unique thing. And that's why I think Mel and Todd, they have their sources, people they talk to that they trust, that they don't out in the media, so that they have inside sources on who's really being talked about a lot, and they try to be right.
Absolutely.
Their mock drafts, because it's not your opinion. You could do almost two different ones, right?
Correct.
One, this is what I think is going to happen, or what I've been told is going to happen, and here's what I would do.
Yeah.
If I was the GM of the Cardinals, if I was the GM of the Raiders.
That's true.
You know, and you could do two side by side like that to see, and then kind of look back 5 years, you know, from now and be like, I wonder how that would have worked out. And look, it's still an inexact science, right? Because you don't know. If Nick Bosa goes number one to the Cardinals, if he had the same career in Arizona as he would have if he goes to San Francisco? Those are different coaching staff, different players on the roster.
Absolutely.
It's so inexact. It's that's why there's so much drama around it, because it is there's nothing that you can pinpoint. There's no inexact science to this. Before Baker got drafted, right? He's too short. And now mm-hmm. Kyler Murray's shorter than Baker, and no one's bringing up his height. They're like, oh, look at Baker. He's fine. So Kyler must be fine. It's crazy kind of how everything changes.
No, you're absolutely right. And do you think that is there pride that goes on in a draft? Like, let's say that the Cardinals have the first pick, and there's this debate over whether they take Kyler Murray or not. But the front office has to be a little bit, in my opinion, probably a little bit nervous about, you know, if they pick Murray, then Rosen's not the guy, and we missed on that. Is there any pride that goes in? What would that be the only reason that Kyler Murray doesn't go first overall, you think?
Well, I don't know if that'd be the only reason. You know, are they trying to gender up all this to try to trade back to mm-hmm. get more assets? That could be it, too.
Very true.
I think there is. There's obviously – you see pride all the time. I mean, mm-hmm. it happens with coaches, right? Especially if you're a new coach and you draft a young quarterback, now you're linked to that guy. If that quarterback fails, very rarely does the coach get a second chance at that. And so a lot of times you'll see yourself being like, well, why aren't you playing this young guy? And, you know, why aren't you doing all this? Look at the pride of Hugh Jackson not playing Baker Mayfield. He was trying to play Tyrod Taylor because he thought Tyrod would give him job security if he could win a few games early on. And ended up backfiring on him because then Baker comes in, leads to the first one in the season, the first one in 2 years, and then plays really well. And all of a sudden you have this feeling, wait, why was this guy on the bench?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, coaches in the front office have pride all the time. No one likes to be wrong, but I think the great ones are the ones that can humbly look and be like, you know what, I messed up here.
Absolutely.
Have the confidence in yourself that the people around you will trust you to get the next one right. Unfortunately, we don't have long leashes in the NFL a lot of times, right? You got to be almost at 100 to stick around, especially when those guys live under.
Yeah, and speaking of the leashes, you say, in terms of the window really in when a football player can make their living, because in a physical sport like football or like hockey, where you've got about, you know, 6, 8, 10, maybe 12 years, unless you're Peyton Manning or somebody that played till they're 80, you only have a certain window to make your living. And diving into like contract talks, a lot of people, and I'm going to mention Bryce Harper because I'm a Phillies fan, and kind of saw how this thing panned out over what seemed to be months, which really was months. But of course, Scott Boras is his agent, and he's the one that negotiates the money and the terms. And as prideful as Scott may seem to be, probably the best out there. And what really goes into as a player that guaranteed money or the length, or how does that vary from player to player? Because everybody obviously has different interests and family situations. And for you, without going into the dollars and cents of contracts, but just more about what made you feel like, yeah, this was a great contract.
Well, really, you're right. It don't have to do with the individual. And you have this small window to get as much money as you can. So for me, it was, obviously you want to win. But you also know what's more important. Is it going to be winning all of this, or is it going to be trying to secure my family with the most amount of money?
Now, absolutely.
Two contracts are really close from one to another team, and one team is better. Well, if the money is not that significant, okay. But if it's a couple $1 million, you're not leaving it on the table. You're taking the best offer. And then you try to convince yourself that you're going to be part of the solution to turn it around, and maybe things can go up from there. But it's all individual. Every sport's different, right? Baseball is, you're fully guaranteed. Basketball, you're guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Hockey, you're basically guaranteed. They can buy you out, but they still owe you 2/3 of the remaining contract in cash. So it's different. Football's not. Once your guarantee's up, they can cut you and don't. You're obligated to them. They're not obligated to you.
Correct.
Once your guarantee is up in 3 years. So that's different. And then, as you mentioned, Bryce Harper. Like, if you were one of the top guys, and this isn't just Bryce Harper. This could be Patrick Mahomes or Russell mm-hmm. Wilson, who gave this new deadline to the Seahawks, or it could be Ovechkin or whatever. There is an extra layer of pressure on you from the Players Association, mm-hmm. from your agent, to continue to set the bar higher. So if you're Bryce Harper, people are going to be mad at him, saying, hey, well, he took less for a year. But the way the agent and the PA worded it to him was the total number. Right? Mm-hmm. Hey, no, like, you're going to leave $30 million on the table if you don't take this extra few years. And so you're saying to yourself, and then they try to scare you almost, and a lot of times they're going, well, what if you get hurt? What if you get a, you know, season, a career-ending injury, and you have $30 million on the table to accrue one more per year somewhere else. It is a dance you kind of have to do. And those agents obviously want to get the highest number possible. That's why they get paid to do what they do. But it's no difference. Like, if Russell Wilson gets a deal, then it's on Pat Mahomes and his agents to outdo Russell Wilson and continue to push the bar higher, because the thought process is, well, if Pat Mahomes pushes it to a new level for quarterbacks, then QB 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, everybody elevates. And that's the new ceiling. So that's the trick of it. And a lot of times you just want to make sure you have money secured for your family so that in the worst case scenario, you know, things are going to end before you wished or hoped you were financially set up to pull it.
Absolutely. And I think it benefits the team that you sign with, even, you know, like the Bryce Harper thing. I mean, the Phillies paid a lot for him, but he's already pumped up and pumping up the crowd in right field at, you know, the Nationals. Phillies were at the Nationals the last couple of days, and the whole stadium, the end of the, I think the Tuesday night game, was just completely flooded with Philly fans. And that makes the Phillies, I mean, that's why they signed him. It wasn't just the numbers. It's the excitement and the adrenaline of not just the stadiums wherever he goes, but the city of Philadelphia. And it's good for baseball. I mean, he's everywhere now on social media. So you nailed it on the head. I mean, the contract affects more than just the player, the person, the agent. It affects cities and it affects the sport, which is really, really interesting to me. And, you know, I appreciate you touching on that stuff. Before we let you go.
It's interesting because you wonder, the biggest question whenever you see these huge deals is it worth it? Is it worth it to the Angels
Correct.
To give Mike Trout all this? And we had this argument, this dialogue on our show locally here. If Mike Trout walked into our sports station, I don't think any of the people that didn't work in sports, like the people that were on our sales side, I'm not sure 80% of them would recognize him.
He's
not flashy. And no one in Columbus, Ohio is watching Angels baseball.
Yeah.
And no one in Columbus, Ohio is watching highlights of Angels baseball. So although this guy is one of the best to ever play baseball, he's not recognizable over in every, you know, city in America. I think baseball, so then how do you measure success? Like, so you would think the logical thing would be like, well, the Phillies better get a couple titles on this, or the Angels. Well, I'm not sure it's going to happen, but if Bryce Harper was able to bring more excitement, better TV dollars, better corporate stuff, that comes off as worth it.
Absolutely.
You know, championships for organizations. Can I get money? Is my investment paid off and money back to me? That's an interesting thing. But it's baseball is in a unique spot right now, and the more personalities you can get, like Bryce Harper, who I don't mind the bat flips. I don't
me
mind
neither.
That, 'cause that's how you get young kids involved. If you want to get young kids involved, sit in there for the days of our generation of kids sitting there for 9 innings and filling out a scorecard. It's not happening.
Mm-mm.
The kid's going to have his phone out checking other scores, other sports. It's just, how do you keep the attention of the next generation?
Absolutely.
Baseball's a big challenge.
That's a great point. I mean, you're right. I grew up going to games with a scorecard, and it's sad. I mean, we in the baseball tournament business, which is what we do full time, you know, we never see that. I mean, we may see one kid in a dugout who's coach's son. Nobody knows how to.
We didn't have cell phones.
Yeah,
Wi-Fi.
I mean, I coach. Exactly. That was fun to us. That was like playing Fortnite on your phone for us, you know. And it's just sad that the game's changing. And you're absolutely right. It's just it's a different game than it was even 15 years ago, 10 years ago, even.
But, and the NFL's had to adapt. I mean, the NFL, all their new stadiums, the things that they advertise the most is like Wi-Fi network that can handle everybody at once. If people want to go to a game and also check their fans.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just a new dynamic. And now betting, it's a whole nother layer.
Oh, I know. And it's now that it's spreading into, like, I think Colorado is going to legalize it here by 2020. Pretty soon it's just going to be everywhere. And it's not just Vegas. And that can be, it's fun because I love that kind of thing. But it's also a very dangerous game. So it'll be
interesting.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be interesting to see how that affects games, because it really will. I mean, now we'll be watching I don't want to mock any teams, but now the 49ers-Dolphins game is all of a sudden fun to watch. So
yeah, no question.
But you mentioned, before we let you go, I know we're out of time here, and I, again, appreciate you being on, but your dad was pretty well-known character in the WWF / WWE. People are still saying his, this, oh, what a rush slogan. And who is your, now that it's WrestleMania week, we're only a couple days away here. Who is your favorite all-time wrestler? I know there could be two or three. And then what is one guy that you might have met because of your dad and being able to go watch him perform? One guy that you met that was like, yes, that guy's awesome. He's kind of my hero. Or did that even happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it happened a bunch. I was fortunate to go to a lot of things growing up, and more so even when I was in college and in the NFL. My uncle still works for the WWE, Big John, Big Johnny A. So there's a whole lot there. My favorite growing up, it changed. It just changed with when I grew. But I love Shawn Michaels.
Absolutely.
I thought he was one of the best entertainers.
Sweet chin music.
Yep. Sweet chin music, the entrance, the fireworks.
Yeah.
He had a whole deal going. And then obviously The Rock was one, changed wrestling, you know, with his promos. But I think something about The Undertaker, that's probably the one person that you meet. And you see the gimmick and the bells. And anytime the lights go off, the bell goes, you still, you know, get chills. It's one of those characters that has, you know, stood over 20, 25 years.
Absolutely.
Crazy. And he's, you know, a driving force behind that company. But I thought the golden era of wrestling was when you'd kind of flip back and forth between Monday Night Nitro and Raw and DX and NWO. And they
Monday,
kind of outcondo each other.
Monday Night Wars.
Outdo each other. Yeah. Like, who could kind of push the boundaries more?
Absolutely.
And, it was a wild time.
I think when Triple H and DX rode in on the, I think it was an army tank, if I remember right, when they, remember they kind of invaded WCW. I think that's kind of a big turning point in that overcoming WCW and kind of buying them out.
Yeah.
But I remember watching that and, I was like, well, this is over for WCW and Eric Bischoff era. So,
I mean, that was ultimately it. And, but those were, you know, those were the good days. And I don't really follow it as much anymore, but it's, you know, you wonder what, without competing companies like that, you know, what's the overall direction of which this thing can kind of grow? Who are the next guys that are going to carry the company, you know, 20-year period? Are there going to be guys that are 20 years and more? So it's going to be interesting to see where the business goes.
Yeah, it will. And I think John Cena may be the closest thing, maybe Brock Lesnar to, you know, to being the carriers like Undertaker or, you know, Ric Flair, those guys that carried it back in the day. I think those are the closest that we may see for a long time.
Yeah. I think Brock does, you know, hard thing with Brock is that he's bounced back and forth so much. That's kind of, you know, you're right. John Cena is definitely one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gonna be interesting. There's been some guys that have come along that I thought were gonna be bigger names.
Me too.
That they ended up being, and maybe be pushed over a little bit more. But it's also an interesting time because, you know, back when The Rock used to do it was all improv, and now they have these Hollywood writers.
Yep.
You know, they have everything kind of scripted out as far of all that for kind of weeks, months in advance. So
correct.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is. And again, WrestleMania this weekend, we won't ask you to make any predictions. I know you don't follow it as much as you may have used to. But are there any WrestleManias you remember the most? This will be the last question and we'll get you out of here. But what WrestleMania match stands out to you as maybe the best ever, if you can remember any of that?
Oh, man. You know, it's tough. Stone Cold and Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. Like when Stone Cold got all bloody. I remember him in the sharpshooter.
I remember that.
You know, there's a couple of them. I believe in WrestleMania 13, my dad, Hawk, and Ahmed Johnson won against the Nation of Domination.
Mm-hmm.
With Farouk and Devo Brown. And it was a Chicago street fight. That was one of my favorites of my dad.
Yeah.
But I mean, I got to attend one in Orlando outside. One in Houston. Atlanta. So I've been to a couple, and they're such a production.
Absolutely.
They're a blast.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I again, James, I appreciate the time, man. It was a pleasure. I know we got to speak a little bit yesterday, and you're a genuine guy, man, and I appreciate you and your wife's friendship with my sister, and she really looks up to you guys,
absolutely.
And I really appreciate that, man, and thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
Awesome, man. We'll have you back on at some point in the future if you're willing to do it. And you know, take care of yourself. And listeners, go listen to the radio show. Can you tell us what it's called now that with the internet and SiriusXM? There's no reason why people can't tune in.
Yeah, we're on 10 to noon Eastern. It's 971 The Fan in Columbus, Ohio. There's a fan app if you want to tune in, or obviously 971thefan.com. You can listen to it as well. If you're a Buckeye fan out there in Colorado, some Buckeye talk.
There are a ton out here. There are a ton out here, I think, that would love to jump in and listen. As you know, they're everywhere. They're like Yankee fans. They just probably have never even been there and they're a fan. but man, I appreciate it. Thanks again. And we'll be in touch here soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.